welcome to If You've Come This Far. On this episode, we have a guest who is actually also our new, represents our new show sponsor, Mental App. We talked to Dr. Anson Whitmer, who Sean originally connected with. Sean, tell us a little bit about Anson.
So I met Anson at this, a conclave. Sometimes I use words I don't really know what they mean. I think it was gathering. There's a new movie out, Conclave. A gathering of people that are involved in men's well-being. And we were put together in a breakout room. He was hanging out with his son. He's talking about, you know, being a co-founder at Calm. And that really, I actually liked his vibe. I was really curious about his Calm time, because that's a cool story. And then he's got this app called Mental, and it's kind of focused on mental health and focused on dudes. You know, people will hear that we talk about the cold shower piece, which is, again, a bunch of bullshit. But I think you both call me out on the fact that I call the cold shower thing bullshit. Like I'm, you know, like questioning my manhood because I won't take a cold shower.
No, it was not a question of your manhood. No.
That's how it felt for me.
That's how you recall it.
Just letting you know, that's how I felt. I'm still holding it right now as we do this intro. So, but I mean, we talk about, so fortunate that we get to talk to people like Anson, really smart, doing really cool things, and, you know, taking some shots in the world, which is really cool.
Yeah. My recollection is different than yours, because here, well, this is my recollection only, but I up until recently, I sided with you, at least to the extent where I would have said cold showers, cold plunges, cold exposure, not for me.
Yeah.
I've tried it. Yep. I can't stand it. I find it to be miserable. I don't know that I believe in the benefits. Yep. And as someone who's been using Mental for almost 2 months, I'm kind of addicted to it now.
I know you are.
So it's one of those things where I think it's a worthy experiment, and we'll see. We'll see if it continues to, I think, make me feel better, which I think it does. But also, I've liked the app for other little right. things that I think serve as sort of like a phone-based accountability partner. So
I'm
psyched about it.
Yeah. And I don't want to just, you know, because there's a lot more to the app, and it's not about me. It's about other people getting value of it. And I can see where people would get value of it. I mean, look, you're taking cold showers. You can do 6 push-ups in a row. I mean, it's really, it's really changed your life. You got Marcus, the AI therapist, who's helping you. I mean, it's crazy. I've noticed the change in you. It's amazing.
AI therapy is a whole nother topic, but right. I do find it interesting. I'm up to 72 push-ups, dude. I 72.
I know. It's that's awesome, really. I'm just teasing you.
Yeah. Here's what I want to do, and we'll wrap up this intro here in just a few seconds. But I want you, in front of all of our listeners, to commit to me that you will at least try the cold shower protocol.
Done.
Okay. Done. And we'll revisit that after you've given it a little bit of a whirl. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Let's get on with things. This is Dr. Anson Whitmer.
Anson,
how are you two doing?
Good, you?
Very well.
Yeah, doing great.
Do you remember us meeting?
Yeah, when was it?
Is it Jana Markowitz? Is that the one that's
going to get right. Out? Yeah.
And you were. I think you were serving breakfast to your son too while you were trying to do while you were trying to do the meeting, which was great.
That's right. Yes. Yeah, he was sitting on my lap through that.
He was.
Have you been to more than one of those?
Yeah, I went last week.
Yeah.
I appreciate the objective. Not sure. I mean, I actually there's three guys I'm following up with from it. So, so yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it's an interesting initiative.
Yeah. It seems like, really good connections are being made through there. And it does make sense. If we could figure out ways to help each other, we could all have a bigger impact.
Completely. Yep.
But yeah, I think I just kind of, so many things and we're heads down right. so much. It's hard to pop up and go to those where it's like kind of a little intangible of if it'll help you accomplish what you need to soon or not. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I don't really know where it's going. And I think probably the stage that you're in right now, it may not result in more app downloads.
Yeah. I think. Which is, critical for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you guys want me to just leave the call? I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
But Chris, so, nice to meet you.
Yeah. So Chris Dance. So it's weird that, cause I had made a note that I was going to reach out to you and then your folks reached out to us and that's where I was like, oh yeah, shit. Yes. We got to do this. Amazing. So we're really glad you carved out some time to talk with us. So.
Yeah. I'm excited for this.
So where to start? I will say that when, you talked about when I first met you in that breakout, you talked about your relationship with Calm and then moved to mental. That was really interesting.
Yeah.
As a yoga teacher, as a meditator, I was, really curious about kind of digging into the Calm experience and then maybe why you left, how you left and starting mental and how that's going and where that's going and maybe why you started it. So,
Chris. I have an initial confession to make, Anton, which is that I am bought into mental.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I really am. And I was just saying this to Sean before you hopped on. I didn't mean to cut off your question, Sean.
No, that's fine. Yeah, I don't care. Right.
But I keep saying to Sean, I'm like, you gotta check this out. Now, I will say that the parts I'm really bought into cold showers, which is never something I ever even remotely enjoyed or considered. I like the push-ups, and those are two small pieces. But recently with the update, I feel like your AI therapy function has gotten a lot better. And I think that's amazing as well. So I just want to say that, I'm interested in Calm too, but never found Calm to be that meaningful to me. I don't know, Sean, you want
to? Well, I that's what's interesting to me is, starting out with a variety of different apps, starting with Headspace for me. And then I think they were kind of first to market almost from that perspective. Yep. And then you guys come along, others have followed, but obviously you guys are the Calm and Headspace were the two big players in the space. And so, and you came second. And I think are actually doing better. So maybe kind of talk about how that space evolved and how you got engaged. And now that Chris, and now I feel like I have to say, I have mental on my phone. And when I went into it and it said, oh yeah, this cold shower thing, I'm like, fuck that. I'm not cold showers is not my thing. Chris is trying to talk me into revisiting it.
And it always starts hot.
That's what I told him.
So we can get more into that as we get into mental and you could say, no, this is why you got to do cold showers. And I still probably won't do them, but we could talk about it. So
yeah, I always liked doing cold plunges and thought cold showers were miserable. And when we created the content, it actually got me into cold showers. So it's different, but you got to start hot.
And
excited to talk about the therapy bit too, because we just launched even another update there and it's going to, it's getting better and better. We're just,
so really let's do, let's go through it. I don't want you to waste all your time on the Calm stuff, but I think it's interesting to know your story and how you started there and kind of made the transition. So
yeah, and maybe even like just taking a step back as well, even just how I, got the PhD that led me into Calm.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, and this is what I had shared when we met up before, which is just how much my career, I think really started when I was 19. My uncle, he'd been living with us to help us through some tough times. He killed himself. And that's what motivated me to get my PhD in neuroscience. I wanted to understand why people like my uncle couldn't let go of his childhood, how that led to depression and ultimately suicide. Ended up out at Stanford doing my postdoc with one of the world's premier experts in depression, and just doing research on what causes depression, really from like how we get stuck in thoughts, rumination. Around that point in time, my cousin, other side of the family, and he actually had reached out to me a few days beforehand, and I didn't get back to him in time, and he killed himself as well. And that was kind of what triggered me leaving academia. I was like fully into the professorship route, but we were just making strides understanding causes of mental illness, but just doing so little to scale up its solutions and just not moving fast enough in any sort of way. And so I became a little disillusioned with what academia was, what the potential was there to have a real impact. And that was what was motivating about Calm. I mean, I was a little bit personal in that I started meditating when I was 18 and personally saw the impact of what meditation could do for you. But also just from my research and depression, I was really aware that it wasn't just kind of some woo-woo. There was real evidence behind it. It could have a real impact on you. It's one of the best ways to prevent onset of depression or help you if you're already there. And but at that time when I joined Calm, so I was the founding data scientist, like employee number 10, and my co-founder is a founding engineer. I was just, it was treated as some very niche. We had investors who just, one didn't invest, and he gave us the feedback. He's like, meditation's something only done on college campuses and at Burning Man. So he's like, I'm not investing. This is too niche. And he didn't see what we saw, which is you just take away some of the woo and make it more science-based and connect with people, and it could be massive. And that's what we saw. We were behind Headspace, but we just kind of try to make it Calm. One of the big differences, we try to make it just a little bit less serious, more approachable, more fun. We goof around a little bit more. And it took off. By the time we left Calm, besides like big valuations for a startup, which sign that you've actually done well, is also we just got millions of people into meditation, and I think shifted the culture in a big way, which is like, even if you don't meditate, you probably now know that it is a tool there that's there for you if you need it. And it just wasn't that way in like in the mid 2010s. So it was great. It was an amazing ride. Co-founder and I both left similar point in time and just took a sabbatical to think about what to do next. And that was where it kind of dawned on us as we looked at the space, how much the space just failed to get through to men. And we saw that at Calm. We were at one point upwards of 70% female. And
is that right?
And I love Calm and the impact we've had, but it's also, you know, you could sense sometimes in the space over the years, how many times I've looked at Calm and the Instagram is, you know, that image is a woman under a blanket sipping on steaming tea, looking out a window. And it's very soothing and calm, but is that a male kind of space? No. So it's everywhere from like the marketing to also like, how are the tools being taught? And meditation can, I think, be quite appealing to men, but it's how it's taught. And then also just like that, men just approach mental health so different. How they view and understand their mental health is very different. What type of solutions they want, who do they want to become? How do they aspire to change through treatment is very different. So if we just expect these one size fits all solutions to work equally well for men as they do with women, you know, we're going to be disappointed. And I think that's why we are disappointed, why we're struggling so much to get through to guys. And so we just saw a real opportunity here, partially business-wise, but also just a way to have massive impact on the world.
Can you speak to some of those things that are different in, you know, just bring insight and clarity to the things that are different for men in how they look at their mental health and how they deal with it and address it?
There's so many different things. I think you take a guy, for example, who's dealing with depression. how does he experience it and understand it? It's a lot of guys don't experience and understand it in the way I think that we generally think they do. There's this video going around of The Rock talking about how he'd been depressed a few times and made him quit football, and how he's saying how he ultimately got help. And one thing that I thought that was just really interesting about what he said in that interview is that the first two really bad periods of depression he went through, he didn't realize he was depressed, including one when he was like 35, very successful, and he's a very smart guy. He didn't realize he was depressed. He says that explicitly. He's like, I don't know anything about mental health. That's what he said. Mm-hmm. And so there's this message out there telling guys, get help, seek help. And he had heard that message, but because he wasn't depressed, it wasn't a message for him, right? And so what is that experience for a guy? And, you know, on one hand, we see often with our users, a lot of them could go, I'm just kind of low on confidence right now, and I need a little more discipline. Mm-hmm. They bring those two things. Like, I just need a little more confidence and discipline. And it's like, I think someone else would conceptualize maybe that they're depressed or there's something else going on, but that's their issue, their idea of what the problem is. And same thing, anger for men is a funnel emotion.
Right.
So it's like, it's a one emotion where we're socially safe to express sadness, other emotions. We mm-hmm. feel a little bit of shame experiencing. We've been socialized to feel that way. So we don't. So we get anger, and behind us all these other emotions, and it could be sadness, etc. So when a guy is depressed, what we've found, there's a male-specific form of depression. It often doesn't come across with classical symptoms of depression, which is like anhedonia, lack of pleasure, sadness, etc. Mm-hmm. It could come across quite differently with like anger, irritability. And then men also, they tend to externalize when they're struggling with mental health issues. So they will go to substance abuse, risk-taking. And so when a guy is struggling, it's like the one thing you could see maybe is anger. And a lot of people don't associate that with depression, but that's right. How it shows up for a lot of guys, or risk-taking substance abuse. It's the same thing. So guys don't get it. Even a lot of people trained in mental health literature, I see people post on LinkedIn all the time, 25% of females experience depression and men are half as likely. But actually, right. If you account for male-specific depression, they're equally likely. It just goes under diagnosing guys. And a lot of mental health professionals are actually not even very aware of male gender differences here. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of miss it, which is unfortunate. And then how do we actually treat it? How do we help guys build out? It's like it's completely different as well. So we need to be able to understand how guys conceptualize it, how they might be missing understanding of what is going on with their mental health, and be able to speak to them and help them see that we can help them. And then just innovate on ways to make it, to meet them where they're at, make it more fun for them. You know, and there's so many different ways there as well.
Well, I'm curious, and maybe this is drawing on your academia, which I know you've tried to put in your past, but I'm sure it's still relevant in everything you do. But I heard, well, our friend Todd quoted several times the stat that men are four times more likely to commit suicide than women. And I'm thinking, I've also seen a lot of stats recently about stress. How my question for you is, how closely related are stress and depression? Is there an overlap? Are they two separate things entirely? Like, how do we think of that?
Yeah, it's a great question. The diathesis stress model predict is that there's only so much, that there's basically, as you get more stress, there's greater chance that you develop different psychological issues, and different people have different thresholds at which they could handle. And so there are ways to basically enlarge how much stress you could handle and also decrease how much stress you experience so that you don't pass that threshold. But it is, definitely considered to be one cause of depression. DBT, dialectic behavior therapy, like a big part of the foundation of it is trying to help you handle, be able to broaden out how much stress you could handle before it overwhelms you, is like a core part of it. And and actually kind of a little bit of a driving motivation behind our cold shower protocol, changing how much stress you could handle before it overwhelms you.
So DBT is underpins some of what mental offers, and CBT as well, cognitive behavioral therapy, or?
There's definitely third wave therapies like CBT, ACT, DBT are big motivations for us. In terms of our AI therapy, it's really multimodal. It draws on different traditions. And what it's really trying to do is figure out, based on who you are and what your experience, what would be the best way to help you, but always drawn on that evidence-based tradition. But the audio content, I would say, is pretty heavily driven by like DBT and CBT.
I want to take a quick detour. Sean, one thing you don't know about the app is that in the AI therapy function, you can choose a therapist, which I assume they're different based on the programming or the training of those bots. I'd like for you, Anson, now that you've known me for 22 minutes, to recommend which of those therapists I would work with.
It depends on what you're dealing with. And it's like, we have Marcus, he's this older guy, and he's my guy. I think a lot of people who have bigger, kind of more existential type questions, they go to him.
Okay.
So if that's where you're at, but there's like Jay, he's a little bit more hard edge. His background is Navy SEAL, who became a therapist, which is pretty common, right? But it's like, it's those younger guys that I was talking about, or just they view their problem as like, I just need a little more confidence and discipline. I'll get back on my feet. Those guys love Jay because he's bringing that, even if they are dealing with depression and bigger things.
Okay.
That feels like it's aspirational in the right way.
Hey, listeners. I started testing this app called Mental in late 2024, and I've used it literally every day since. Mental is designed specifically for men's mental health, and I can honestly say that I've felt the impact. Handling stress better, building resilience, and feeling stronger, really both physically and mentally. So every day I take a cold shower, and I knock out a round of push-ups with coaching from a retired Navy SEAL and a former world heavyweight boxing champion. And while I was skeptical at first, probably even more skeptical than I was about cold showers, I've also been using Mental's AI therapy function. It's not meant to replace real-life therapy, but I have found it to be surprisingly valuable. What sets Mental apart is that it's not based on pseudoscience or bro science. It was developed by PhDs in neuroscience and counseling psychology. So it's real science designed to make a real impact. So if you're looking for a way to strengthen your mind and body, I highly recommend giving Mental a try. You can download it using the link in our show notes and get 20% off your annual subscription. I really don't think you'll regret it. So I want to return to sort of Sean's line of questioning, and I'm curious, which was a harder career move to sell to your partner? The becoming the 10th employee at a mental health app when they really hadn't, done a lot. I mean, evaluation wise until then, I think, or starting Mental.
Yeah. We had our second baby the same month that Mental launched, which was fairly
brutal.
Here's your
answer.
But
Anson's guy. So I'm taking away Anson's great dad, though. I mean, he had his son with him, feeding him breakfast at this meeting we're at. He's like, screw it. I mean, this is what I'm doing. I'm a dad. So
you get your opportunities in life, and so you got to seize them. The timing doesn't always work out perfectly, but it's also, we realize it was the one time to do something like this. And and if anything, when I think of kids, I want to be an example of how to do that and how to balance. Can I balance family life and also be pushing hard on someone that's very mission based in life? And I hope to be that example for them. And I did feel kind of like having twins and having the product and baby at the same time. And one investor, I told him that I was like, feel like I just had twins. Without even blinking, he just went, well, it's good only when your kids has a 90% mortality rate.
Wow.
Brutal. That was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. Good luck.
Wow.
But he invested in us. He's a realist. Yeah.
No, I just wanted to hear more about how you and your partner at Mental, you'd both taken sabbaticals. How did you, at what point did this idea take shape? And when did you guys start to think, well, yeah, there is space for another mental health app geared towards men?
Yeah. It was about a half a year after we left. And we just started talking, kicking around some ideas for different ways we could, what could be a next thing. And if there is any startups that make sense, and we just honed in on this and we just realized that there is kind of a blind spot here. And I think a blind spot for a variety of reasons, but I think also it's been really nice over the past couple of years. There's been a shift. There's almost when we started a little bit of a hesitation was, if we're going to work on men's mental health or helping men, it felt so outside of the trends of like 2021 that we're like, well, people cancel us. Well, they look at us badly because we're trying to help guys. And there was like a little bit of fear about like, is this actually an appropriate, okay thing to do right now? But we also saw that's probably why that's a big part of the reason why guys aren't getting the help. And when you do look at the stats, 4x, like suicide and just like untreated depression, and how much we're just not connecting with men. And I've told you with my two experiences with suicide, which is that if we don't figure out how to get through to men, we're never going to resolve the suicide crisis. Mm-hmm. So just mission wise, I'm like, this is really important. And if no one else is thinking this way, because it's a little bit taboo, well, this is actually a great opportunity to kind of push the envelope a little bit. And over the last 2 years, I feel like the conversation shifted. It's become, I think, a lot more aware of like, oh, we should be doing something here. Like, this is an important problem. And it's not a zero-sum game. It is also what shifted a bit. Like, you can help women and care about that stuff while you also help men. It's not like one or the other.
I just want to share that I lost my best friend in 99 to suicide, depression. I don't know if it was an issue with the meds that he was taking or how that, how that played out. But, there was, I think some of what fed it was, control issues and again, trying to live up to, this societal perspective on what a man is supposed to be. And that was really, really hard for him. You made this comment. It's so much of this is serious, right? I mean, it's a serious issue, but you talk about, trying to approach it almost lightheartedly in a certain way. Man Therapy does kind of the same thing. They use humor and what they do with Dr. Rich Mahogany. And so have you found that is kind of most appealing to men? Well, might maybe really get them in if it's not so serious?
Yeah, I think our culture, our protocol is just full of humor and laughs. The whole app is. I think it's a big deal. You look at the space, it is, it's either very clinical, and a lot of guys don't want to conceptualize, I have a problem that needs to be fixed and I need to see a doctor, versus like, hey, this is fun. And then the other zone is kind of either maybe spa-like, like a little bit, you're getting pampered and don't worry, we'll soothe you and take care of you. And guys don't want to be soothed as much. They want to feel more in control. They want to be built up. They want to be stronger. That's motivating to us. And so we just like kind of take the edge. The humor almost just like immediately shows people that this is very different from those spaces. And you connect a little bit with the humor, you're willing to try out some of the tools. And the way we view it in a lot of ways is it's a funnel, right? You're a little uncertain. You have a laugh or two. You go, oh, okay, I'll try that a little bit more. You experience some of the tools in the cold shower protocol that are all, they're tools taken from CBT, DBT, mindfulness, et cetera. We don't use those terms, but you experience them while you're stressed. You see how they help you. And then you go like, that was kind of great. And then mm-hmm. you're driving down the road and your kids are yelling in the back seat and they show up in real life. And you go like, oh, wait, these help in all kinds of ways. And so now you're like, what is this? Like, I haven't really experienced this world and I want to know a little bit more about it. And that's like where our AI therapy comes in, where now there's been psychoeducation, you've seen it showed up in your life and you have more complex problems. How do you go even a step further and really start getting underneath what's going on with some of your other concerns in life? And that's probably going to open up, guys, once you see AI therapy work. Hey, maybe this is the time where I see a human therapist. This may be the time where I do group therapy, because another big difference for guys, group therapy, we tend to bond doing things shoulder to shoulder. And like, right. So how do we make it more of a group thing? So it's like, there's a funnel, and the humor we've always seen is just like that connection point, that start point.
I always think about Krishnamurti's quote. He said, you know, life is serious, but we can't take it too seriously. I think there's some real wisdom there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So part of the business challenge is getting people to sign up. And then the second challenge is getting people to stay. And I've not yet experienced any sort of surveying that you all are doing on your members, but I know you have data on what people are using or finding most effective. I'd love to hear a little bit about that. Like I said, cold showers and push-ups, I don't let a day pass without doing those things. I've done some of the daily deuces less frequently or less regularly, some of the book summaries and stuff. And then I think my third favorite though is this AI, now that you've stepped up that game a little bit. But like what are you finding in terms of what the users are using the most and getting the most out of?
Yeah. It's an interesting bit of our app being multi-product, where we have all these different features, and so it will kind of depend what you get pulled into, but it's people who get past day 7 of cold showers, they're hooked. It's the retention rates are just wild. I think it's like you just suddenly get it. You're like, yeah, I feel awful, but then I feel amazing afterwards. So it's, you get immediate endorphins, but then you also see the tools and you've had a laugh and you're like, this is going to be fun, not just miserable.
Sean's like making a skeptical face.
I remain curious. Yeah. I'm not going to.
Yeah. Always starts hot, and it starts with only 5 seconds of cold, and we don't even tell you max cold. We're just like, just make it kind of cold. And so it builds up. It's about showing up.
I have a quick funny story about that. So I'd been doing it for 20 days or so, and then my family and I convened at an Airbnb in Boston for 4 days or 5 days. And their shit was way colder than my shit. And all of a sudden I was like, oh my God, I'm not doing this right. Like, this is way colder. But I like the flexibility, but also it goes back to the thing we just talked about. Like, there is the sort of the lightheartedness, but there's also some instruction component. And then there's that sort of peer support component that's the word I would use for, you know, sometimes you need a therapist and sometimes you need a peer support or men's groups or whatever. But all of that adds up to me also to some form of accountability when you can generate a practice like that. And, you know, look, I know that Jason, who I think is genuinely really funny, he's not watching me, but for some reason I feel obliged to meet That's some true. Expectations.
Yeah, there is a psychological trick there as well, because we thought about, you know, you could start it when you're ready to like move to the cold and then it would talk and count down, but it's very intentionally, you set a length of hot that you want to do and you press play before you get into the hot shower. So while you're nice and safe, and then, you know, 5 minutes goes by and the Navy SEAL gives you some story about the tool you're going to use and background and motivation. And by the time he tells you to turn the handle, you're like, I got to turn the handle. You can't say no at that point. So you say yes while you're safe, and then it's too late. Yeah.
Does he berate you as you're squeezing out your sixth push-up? Like,
oh, you're so the push-up
struggling
guy,
to get the sixth one.
The push-up guy is a former heavyweight champion, and he's great too. And now, Anson, I was a submarine officer. We worked a little bit with SEAL Team 6, but I always thought, fuck that. I'm not getting in that torpedo tube and going out in the cold. I'm nice and comfortable here. But I do like I do like the experts that you've brought in because it adds some validation, yeah. Right? It would be like taking a college class with a kindergartner teacher, right? You know, you wouldn't buy it, and so, I'm buying it.
So Chris, as a user now, this app is designed, you know, it's mental, it's designed for men. Do you get a sense that it is for men, or could women use this and it'd be fine, or is it uniqueness in it?
I mean, I don't know. Anson probably has a good answer for that.
Well, you're a user. I know he does. I know. I'm asking you.
I'm actually curious to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I work in the education space. We know from a lot of experience that personalized, individualized education is often more effective. I think for certain individual women, this might resonate, but I think by and large, it's very clearly going to appeal to men more than women. I don't know, Anson, push back.
Anson answers, what are the, can you share some specifics on why you think it's more, why it appeals more to men from your perspective?
Yeah. I mean, okay, I could point to a couple of things. I mean, the humor is probably a little more geared. I mean, men like to talk shit. And there's a little bit of shit talking that goes on, and that's a motivational thing. Okay. I think, I got to be careful how I word this. It's probably a little bit more, this is for lack of a better adjective, drill sergeant-y than most women would prefer. You know, it's a little bit louder. It's a little bit more sort of motivational in a way. Whereas I don't know that that's what appeals. And look, I'm going to get in trouble for saying these things.
No, you're not. No,
talking about like gender stereotypes, but that's my take.
It's kind of the point.
Are you going to be mad at me? Are you going to be mad at me for making you do that?
I'll just delete that shit right out of this conversation.
Yeah, I get it. It's like sometimes a little disconcerting to talk about some like the gender differences. And so actually, 10% or more of our users are female. And when we've talked to them, like we have one who kept posting tons of us, like both the push-ups. She went from 5 push-ups to 100 push-ups a day. She religiously does cold showers. And she's like an influencer on Instagram, but she's like riding around on ATVs and like out in the mud and just super cool. But it's also like her pastime and what she loves a little bit up more on the masculine side. And so I think we've seen women who've come in and resonated with the app. They're also not looking for more of like pampering or woo-woo or something clinical. They're looking for someone a little bit more direct, no nonsense, do X kind of advice.
By the same token, just like there may be some women who this might appeal very powerfully to, there are some men, I'm sure, whose jam this is not.
For sure.
Right.
For sure. Right. Yep. Yeah. So I guess that's the point, Anson. So when you're designing it, are you thinking from the traditional masculine perspective that we learn as you design it in order to appeal to men?
Yeah. And it's like, is this partially who are we getting through to at Calm?
Yeah.
Who's already in therapy? As I said, you know, we're not going to be able to resolve the suicide crisis unless we get through to men. Well, we're already getting through to some. That's not all men. You know, I've gone to therapy, I've meditated, and I know a lot of guys who do. I lived in San Francisco for a decade. And but, you know, but who is this huge population of people we're not getting through to? And how do we do that better? And skews a little bit more to guys who maybe could be more traditional in masculinity, or at least like aspire to some of aspects of that. And that's and there's it's almost like we felt that there's this push to tell guys not to be that way and just be more vulnerable. And then you lose those guys. They go, well, I don't want to be vulnerable and that way. I want to be someone who's in control and powerful and strong. And so how do we connect with those guys? Because a lot of them are struggling too. And they just, as said, how they conceptualize and understand it's pretty different. And there's like interesting, the traditional masculinity is, when you look at it, really, it's like there's an element where it feels like it's very binary. Sometimes it's be more vulnerable, almost feels to some men like be more feminine. Mm-hmm. Or there's like the Andrew Tate's the world, no, be an alpha male and like that, and you just have to be one or the other. But really, when you look at the research underneath it, a lot of it is just, how do you have just flexibility?
Yeah.
Don't be so rigid.
Yeah.
It's the rigidness that's the issue, which is like, hey, you could aspire to be powerful and control and like some of those traditional masculine things, but something bad happens. You lose a friend to suicide or something, that you're struggling or whatever. How do you handle that?
Yeah.
Like, what are tools for you? If your only tool is to be tough and not talk, et cetera, like you're going to struggle and it's going to cause a lot of harm in your life. But if you know how to be flexible, use different types of tools, and it's going, your life will be very different. And so that's really like, in some ways, the essence, where give tools, help people be more flexible and not so much lecturing people about how to be one way or another. It's just, we just want you to be you, you do you.
Yes.
And we'll just help give you the flexibility to do it well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
So I had tried years ago Headspace. I think I worked with Calm a little bit. I already acknowledged that it didn't stick that well. I'm guessing pretty confidently that you all have had at least one conversation about whether mental should include meditation. Mm. Where, how did those conversations or conversation go?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think there's a little bit of a desire to build in the space is just do things that are fresh and innovative. And it just, there's a lot of meditation apps and there's a little bit, just sounds kind of boring. You can go get meditation from somewhere else and we're just going to be like, oh, but it's meditation for guys. I actually do think an app with multiple different products that it would actually fit in there very well. And there's other things that would fit in there well. But we wanted to focus on new ways to connect. There's just not enough innovation in the space. And then more recently, you know, then it becomes a little bit of opportunity cost as well. Like, what do you start focusing on? And really, we've just seen AI therapy as having this just huge potential with guys. And this is from the start. This is pre ChatGPT craze, where suddenly everyone was like, oh, this is a thing. Actually, when we first went out to pitch mental to investors, they're like, chatbot, that's so boring, those don't work. And then it was like 3 months later, I was like, oh my god, it's gonna take your job. And but it was because there's, you know, academics been talking for a long time, guys don't like to share what they're going through with another person. They tend to feel overly exposed, ashamed about it, and or they think their problem's not big enough that it merits someone's time. It was like kind of like two big issues that prevent a guy from talking to someone. And AI therapy solves that. It's just like, you do it in private from home. You're not wasting anyone's time. Like, it could be the smallest issue. Don't worry. It doesn't have to be something huge. And so it opens guys up to go a little bit deeper and introduce them to the power of it. And so the latest AI therapy is our third generation approach. And it is, we're actually treating it where you do 15 minute or 30 minute sessions.
Yep.
You schedule your next one. It's not just like, hey, I'm having this indefinite chat. And then what's really cool, what we're launching now, is we have models that build mental models from the therapist's perspective about you in between sessions. That goes way deeper. We've launched it and we've already seen the retention has been wild on AI therapy this generation, like it wasn't before. But with this new release, it's just a whole nother level. And it's kind of, almost happens when you go into therapy, you arrive with a presenting concern or a problem, you know, like I'm burnt out at work, help me. What a therapist will often do is they want to know, okay, well, what's going on underneath that? Like what's driving that? So for a person, they might find out, hey, oh, you have a really high perfectionism, high need for control. That's leading to the burnout. And so if we want to solve the presenting problem, we actually want to get to the underlying issue. And so then it starts, the therapy intervention starts targeting those underlying interventions. And what our therapy now, it's fully an AI agent. So it's like you arrive and it's trying to figure out, what does it understand about you? How much does it need to understand? Does it get it? And then over time, as it starts to really be clear about what are the underlying, as it unfolds what's going on with you, and it could be multi-layer with some issues, it starts switching more towards, okay, maybe this is now the time to start going into solutions or action plans or behavior changes. But it really goes at like that, figures out that underlying issue and starts figuring out how to therapeutically address it from a theoretical perspective. So it's not just like talking to a chatbot that's just vibing with you. This AI we've built, it has goals, intentions. It has a mental model of who you are and what's going on with you. That it's pretty wild because people don't get how these underlying issues are driving so much of their behavior, and the therapy elucidates that for them and then gives them the plan to start changing. It's really cool.
So two things real quick. There's a hope for me that the reasons why you're talking about having these tools for men, because they don't really want to talk to other people about their issues, or they don't think their issues are too big. I mean, those are some of the traditional things that, you know, ideally we'd like to see that worked out for men over time so that they are comfortable talking to humans about that and to engage and connect. The other thing is back to your point about Calm, where 70% of the users are women, it would be nice if the AI therapists were suggesting meditation to some of the men that they work with, because to your point, I am an advocate too. I think it is such a powerful tool, and how do we get them to think about it? If it's not going to be part of the app, because I'm with you on from a business perspective. Yeah. Why integrate it in? But then it's a nice place for you to start. Maybe do that through the AI therapist.
You're totally right. It's an amazing thing you can do with the app. One of the things is if an intervention comes up and they go, hey, this would be helpful for you, then just go use it in the part of the app over there, like meditation here, use that. Yeah. And then the app itself, the AI therapist could see if you're actually using it.
Right.
And could say, how was, day 10 of the cold shower protocol, or you've been meditating for 3 weeks now. Where's it like? Yeah. And so I think it's really cool. And it's partially what we're building out this way, to have interventions and therapy all kind of together.
Really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Quickly, I want to risk wasting 2 minutes and ask a super silly technical question, Anson. But if I'm working with Marcus, my experience has been that Marcus remembers what we talked about yesterday.
Yeah. Right? Is Marcus your guy?
I've dabbled, playing the field. I'm playing the field. But that's related to my question, because if I decide tomorrow that I want to work with Jay, does Marcus give his notes on me to Jay?
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Doesn't start fresh. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a different. It'll be a different approach, but it will be. They'll pass.
I don't need to give him my backstory all over again.
Yeah,
yeah. That underlying understanding the underlying issues that are maybe popping up, that'll be shared. The insights that are going on that could be driving those underlying issues, all that is shared.
The other thing that's interesting about that, I mean, you guys are talking about Marcus and Jay. I know from looking at the app, I know there are some female therapists as well. But as it relates to men, I mean, I don't know, it might be 70-30 women to men from a therapist perspective, and men can't find male therapists. Yeah. So this also gives them an opportunity to speak to a man, right? Yeah. I mean, to their AI therapist, which is a dude, which they might have a very difficult time finding in the real world, right?
Yeah.
Is it 70-30? Is that too much? Too high?
Right around there. Maybe 65, but I think I've heard different numbers. And you're right. It's like not all men necessarily care about having a male therapist, but a lot do. There is actually a lot of people want that. And there's already a therapist shortage.
Yes.
What's wild too is that I think it's like 60% of therapists are over 55. There's
that too. So
there's actually a lot that are about to retire, and they're the best ones because they have this
Yeah.
And so we're going to have a greater therapist shortage. And
there's
a sentiment you hear, everyone should go to therapy, which is, I think therapy could be magical for just about everybody, but it's also kind of an elitist statement when you look at, it takes a couple months, 7 to 10 sessions where you see a lot of the benefit, if not more, and that's already like 2K. So who has that kind of money? Do you have the time to take that off? Most therapists work 9 to 5. Can you take time off during that every week? If you do find someone on the weekend, but you're a single mom or dad or whatever, can you do that? That's tough. Do you live in a place where there's a lot of therapists? There's, if you don't live in LA or big cities, there's a lot of, there's therapist shortage that's going on. And then also you're a male or a male minority. I mean, if you look at male Latino therapists, it's like 0.5%. So you want a guy, someone who gets you from that perspective, it's just like, that's almost impossible to find.
So that, so to that point, it's if we can get men at some level to start talking to their friends or other, you know, like what we do in creating spaces for men to talk, that, I mean, it's not always, it's not the answer, but it certainly can be helpful as you begin to reveal more about what's going on with you. And you, Chris, to your point about peer support, right? I mean, if you can get some of that, I mean, that can take you a distance in dealing with some of these struggles.
Quick question here about anyone who's interested in the space is aware that the VC dollars are flowing pretty generously to mental health apps. I don't know. I'm not asking you guys to talk about your funding, whether it's bootstrapped angel VC or whatever, but given that the funding is there, is everyone just like saying to themselves, well, we don't need randomized controlled trials or any data to show that this is having the effect that we want it to have, as long as people are still writing us checks and we can still grow?
Interesting. There's actually been a bit of a shift, and maybe we'll actually start seeing it come back the other way. I'd say there was a real push towards VC dollars into mental health during the pandemic era, and a lot of much more use. And people pull back on how focused they were with mental health after the pandemic, and so did VC money as well. Particularly the consumer subscription types of apps, they're just notoriously difficult to grow. Paid ads is like a tough way to make it work. Yeah. Consumers are fickle, et cetera. And so I would actually say right now, it's a really hard space to raise money in. So there isn't money flowing there, except for maybe from the AI perspective. So there's definitely a lot of VC interest in what AI could do. But if it's just mental health, like if you're trying to build another meditation app or do something like that, you're not going to raise money. It'd be very hard to do it. I think that question, though, about are people doing peer-reviewed studies, there's more of a lean into it if you're going to try to sell into businesses, like where businesses give the app to their employees and they want to know that it's actually going to work, or to health insurance payers. That's where people are a little bit more likely to do it because it's a little more grounds rule to get into the game. But I think with AI therapy, we've already seen some research out there, and it's just absolutely critical that we start developing more evidence here. I mean, we could see from, you know, our data and our feedback that it's having the type of impact we want. And we know, you know, have clinician reviewing it in the mix, and like, but randomized controlled trials, they're tough, but there's also, you know, steps before that on your build up to the RCTs. And it's just a critical part of the process. I believe right now people don't ask, should I see an AI therapist or a human therapist? And they're going to start asking that, but we don't really want them to start asking that until we know AI therapy actually does help you. I'm confident it does. And there is initial research on older versions of AI therapy, like Wobot, Wisa, that's kind of like outdated tech, that's shown that that does work. But with the newer, like advanced versions where you can go deep on anything. So that's part of our roadmap. And I think just crucial for the space that we, for the development of AI therapy, there's more evidence out there.
I asked earlier reference to marketing to men. So kind of what key approaches to getting men signed up that you're doing right now?
Yeah.
Can you share?
They are disciplined. Again, I talked about earlier of like, it's one of the ways where we've just heard from users and also see work in advertising. It's guys will view themselves as being low in discipline, but when you talk to them more, then you realize like maybe they're struggling with anxiety, depression, or something mm-hmm. deeper. But so how do you talk to them in the way that they understand their problem and say, we'll help with that problem? And, but then you also then help them deal with the issues that are underlying the lack of depression or lack mm-hmm. of discipline or the mm-hmm. lack of confidence, because that's the deeper thing that needs to be solved. It's not just like working out every day. It's bigger than that. We also see with our guys, a lot of, they just, rejectionist type of language. One of our ads at, you could see this if you look us up. So it's, not really state secrets, but it's like, it's just cold showers. I thought cold showers, were stupid. Or even I thought cold showers were fake, or just like something that cold showers are awful. And then it explains why this cold shower protocol is amazing. Guys love that. But it's got to start with like, this is stupid.
All right.
Right. So that's the shit talking part, right? I don't care if you guys ever add meditation, because I refer to my meditation practice as microdosing on meditation, and I get it from my Peloton app. So guided.
Nice.
5-10 minute meditations several times a day, sometimes just to help me recenter. Speaking of Peloton and speaking of data to demonstrate that the product is being well received, Peloton's always done this thing where you finish a ride and you're like, it's sort of a quick net promoter score question and maybe 4 rating questions. Also haven't noticed you guys doing that. Is that not, is that something you guys have explicitly decided not to do?
They're just getting net promoter scores after a ride.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't had the conversation about NPS by itself. And it is potentially something we should start doing. There's just, there's so many things to do.
You got other stuff to do?
There's so much to do. Opportunity costs and startups is your biggest game. And how do you like stay very focused? And so really just thinking about what do we need to do big picture over 6 months to really move the needle? And then it's just do that. And if it's not part of that bigger picture, it just, you don't even talk about it.
Well, you guys, we're almost at time, and I know you've got little kids, Anson, so you probably have to run. I want to save a few minutes at the end to ask you a few questions, the canned questions that we ask everybody. But anything else you want to add that our listeners should hear from the co-founder of this mental app and someone who's deeply interested in improving the mental health scene?
Just appreciate you listening, and we're at getmental.com and in the App Store and Google Play Store. Mental, love you to check us out. There's 1 week free trial. So
Okay. So let's do this. I don't know if you've listened to our podcast before, but we ask everyone 3 questions. Sean, do you have anything else to add?
Nope.
Or ask? Okay.
Nope. And it's not we, you do. You ask people 3 questions.
No, but there are questions, dude.
They are our questions. Yes, I'm totally bought in to our questions.
That's good. Oh, there's a line.
This sounds sounds like we need a couples therapist, doesn't it? Okay, Anson, what do you wish you could have told your 10-year-old self?
Oh, boy. I almost just wish I would have started rock climbing then. I started rock climbing when I was 23, and it's like, I would have been so much better if I started when I was 10.
That's good. Yeah. I got a rock climbing daughter, so I appreciate that. Also sort of meditative, right?
Oh, yeah. And resilience, because rock climbing, you fail a lot over and over, and then you could just get those random successes, and it's an amazing lesson for you.
How many times a week are you on rocks, given that you're doing a startup? I'm curious.
I have a climbing wall in my garage. Built a wall. Yeah.
Wow. All right.
So like I'll even get out there, and you know, in between climbs, I'll be answering emails and taking care of things. So I make it work.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Sounds like a startup founder, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. No shit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the best way to exercise, but.
Okay. Anson, second question is, do you have a mantra in life or a mantra these days?
I was once given a mantra, but I was told not to repeat it. Yeah. But I use that one a lot.
That's transcendental meditation, right?
Your mantra? Yogi, I meant years ago. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this one's for you. Don't ever repeat it. And yeah. I think I was 20. So it's like, still comes to mind a lot.
Oh man. One of these days we're going to drink some whiskey together and I'm going to get that out of you.
never.
By the way, Anson's the first guest who's ever taken that question and treated it as a yes or no question. He's like, yes. end of answer.
Right. Yeah, right.
I do have a
because TSN, that's what they do. In Transcendental, they give you one and you're supposed to repeat it when you meditate, but you're not supposed to tell anyone.
All right, I'm on board.
I'm guessing it's the same one. They just keep telling everyone.
Yeah, it's probably.
This is yours.
If you have one, we share it. Then we'll be like, what?
Right. Can't tell anyone.
Yeah. Tricky yogis.
The last question is, what do you hope that people will say about you at your wake?
Yeah, I mean, I think you see it, what I'm doing in mental, what I did in my PhD at Calm is that I cared about having a big impact on the world and was committed to it. So believe that's true. And I it's, you know, when I think about it, it's like I want my kids to see that. You know, like, can you be successful, but also in a mission-driven sort of way? Mm-hmm. So I hope I'm that example for them.
Awesome. You're well on your way.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I appreciate it.
Well on your way.
Thanks for your time.
You guys having me on.
Yeah,
hopefully. Pick up the kids at school.
Yeah. I'm gonna go take a cold shower.
Right. Yeah. There we go.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, pushups. It's only 5 pushups. Yeah. It's that starts with 5.
I'm up to 64 for the record. So, but
are you? That's good for you.
That's really impressive.
I'm overweight too, so it's doubly impressive.
I've been dealing with tendonitis since we've left, so I haven't actually done the full protocol, even though I'm involved in writing it. But I'm excited. I hear people go from 5 to 100 pushups, and it's not easy to do.
Yeah, no, like part of it's achievement. That accountability. So I'm hooked. All right, Anson, thanks again for your time. We really enjoyed it. I did. I shouldn't speak for Sean, but I'm pretty sure Sean did.
You know Sean? I did. Sean? Yeah. Yes, I did too.
Tell me, Sean.
Yeah. Yes. We're wishing you all the best.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah. All right, peace out, guys. Nice talking to you.
Peace.
Bye.
This is Chris. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of If You've Come This Far.
And this is Sean. Remember to check us out at menliving.org.